Hello, everybody, and welcome to Turning Towards Life. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are from Third Space. And very, very glad to be here as we are every Sunday morning for us in London, our time. And thank you for being here with us. We're so grateful to be practicing like this together in this art of having conversations and wandering into things that we don't know yet. And we know that this is inspiring lots of different kind of conversations to happen around the world because of doing this, and that really matters to us. So thank you for participating the way that you do, reflecting the way that you do, and being in relationship like you are with us. We love to hear from you on our email, which is hello@turningtowards.life, and you can also sign up to have these things arrive in your inbox each week, which Justin has set up. So you just go to turningtowards.life and sign up for them to arrive with you so that you can get reminded of their presence in the world, each of these episodes. You can always find our sources in the show notes of the podcast and also on our website, turningtowards.life. And you can also check out Third Space, wearethirdspace.org, which is our lovely website that shows you broadly who we are and who the other people involved in this little venture are as well. So welcome and thank you for being here. And Justin, thank you for choosing this excellent Alanis Morissette, I imagine, set of lyrics. And I imagine I know the song as well. I'm really grateful that she's here present with us and all of her songs. My goodness, how amazing. So thank you for bringing this today.
It's a wonderful song, worth listening to. And hello, everybody. Hello, Lizzie. Always love listening to the way that you introduce this, Lizzie, because we've introduced this 300 and or a lot times, and there's always the same thing to say and always something different to say about what this is. So I wanted to add my hello to everybody. Thank you for being with us, and to also say, as well as checking out all the surrounding Turning Towards Dot Life and Third Space things, if you're somebody who is benefiting from this long conversation, you're really welcome to find the Support Us button on the Turning Towards Dot Life website, where you can metaphorically buy us a cup of coffee or a meal or lots of cups of coffee or whatever you like, and that really helps keep this project going. But the other thing you could do is just tell people about this, or maybe even we haven't had one of these for a long time, Lizzie. Find the leave a review button if you use Apple Podcasts, and just write a few words if you're willing to do that. Actually, really helps other people find this. It sort of spreads the word out into the world in a very, very straightforward way. So I'm very glad to bring this source. So this is a, and as every week, we're going to begin with a source, as you know, Lizzie, some words, some writing that this time have come. Sometimes they come from us, sometimes they come from people who are close into us, and very often they come from people who are making art of writing words of all different kinds out in the world. And we have a few times, Lizzie, maybe three or four in this 300 something conversations, drawn on song lyrics. So this source this week are the lyrics of a song, a very beautiful song called That I Would Be Good by Alanis Morissette. The version of it, which I know, is on an acoustic album, like an unplugged album that she did some years ago, quite a lot of years ago, I think. And we'll read it in a moment, but I wanted to read it to bring this to us, Lizzie, for two reasons. Three reasons. One is, in and of itself, it really has something important in it. But the second is, for anyone who is coming to the orbit of what we get up to in third space, the kind of coaching and development and learning that we do together, this is really one of the core principles in it. And it felt really important to have a chance for us, you and me, to talk about it, I think. But the third reason is I think it's really challenging. I think in a world which is in enormous difficulty, I wanted the opportunity for us to get into a really rich conversation about what Alanis is bringing to us. So here it is. This is the lyrics to That I Would Be Good. That I would be good, even if I did nothing. That I would be good, even if I got the thumbs down. That I would be good even if I got and stayed sick. That I would be good even if I gained 10 pounds. That I would be fine even if I went bankrupt. That I would be good if I lost my hair and my youth. That I would be great if I was no longer queen. That I would be grand if I was not all-knowing. That I would be loved even when I numb myself. That I would be good even when I'm overwhelmed. That I would be loved even when I was fuming. That I would be good even if I was clingy. That I would be good even if I lost sanity. That I would be good, whether with or without you.
Thanks, Justin. That I Would Be Good by Alanis Morissette. That I would be good, even if I did nothing. That I would be good, even if I got the thumbs down. That I would be good if I got and stayed sick. That I would be good even if I gained 10 pounds. That I would be fine even if I went bankrupt. That I would be good if I lost my hair and my youth. That I would be great if I was no longer queen. That I would be grand if I was not all-knowing. That I would be loved even when I numb myself. That I would be good even when I'm overwhelmed. That I would be loved even when I was fuming. That I would be good even if I was clingy. That I would be good even if I lost sanity. That I would be good whether with or without you.
Now, I so enjoyed the emphatic way with which you read that, Lizzie. And you know, the thing I was thinking about as you were reading, as I was feeling into this, is in a way, it's a bit of an oblique way in, but Alanis has laid out the basic premise here really clearly, that there's a basic goodness about humans. That's the claim. No matter what. And what I got thinking about was how much difficulty we get in because we forget this. Like, how much of our desperation and our working to undo ourselves and our pulling away from things and our fear and our panic and our contraction from the world comes because we lose contact with our own basic goodness. Like, if we're willing to assume that right in the heart of every person, simply by being alive, is something inherently good, that our presence here matters. Maybe that's another way of saying the same thing. It really matters that we're here. It's almost as if it's so tricky to talk about, because on the one hand, what I want to say is, to Alanis's words, is a great big shout of agreement. Yes, we would be good if we did nothing. Yes, we would be good if we got the thumbs down. Yes, we would be really at heart fine if we went bankrupt. That there are many good things about no longer being queen, including our own goodness and all of that. And somehow it's our forgetting that has us cling on to the world and has us take up positions in the world that in the end really don't serve us. Like, in a way, I think a lot of the difficulty that we each bring to ourselves and to other people comes when we've forgotten exactly what it is that Alanis is talking about. Now, the trickiness in talking about it is I'm trying to distinguish between, I want to be able to talk about the way that we bring ourselves to the world and what that brings to ourselves and other people, and at the same time hold on to Alanis's claim here that to be a human is essentially good in and of itself. And so I don't want to fall into, I want to be able to talk about patterns of living that are life-giving and patterns of living that are contract and make things much more difficult without equating them with us being good and not being good. And it's a little bit, sometimes a little bit tricky to hold the two in different places. But maybe another way of saying this that really struck me in reading, hearing you read, is that very often when we're in difficulty, when we or someone else can help us find our way back to knowing what Alanis is saying here in a really deep way, when we can find the path back to the inherent goodness that there is from being a living being, it opens up so much in our being able to be in the midst of whatever we're in, and then to take care of, in the best way we can, to take care of ourselves and others in the middle of it. And when we forget, and when we're grasping, you know, when we're terrified that there is no goodness there, it's so easy to amplify what we're in the middle of out of some kind of desperation. And the desperation itself isn't a way of not being good. I mean, I think that's the linguistic difficulty I'm having talking about it. I'm going to stop there and see where we go. Listening to you.
So Justin, as you're talking about this linguistic difficulty, what I can find in me is the word and. Like, it's okay for two things to sit next to one another, and that I can know your goodness and be fully in contact with your numbness or your fumingness. And likewise, I can be in, it's easier for me to do that than to do it for myself, but I can, if I practice, keep remembering that I am good as well as the other things. And it's reminding me of, I've talked to you before about Dr. Becky Kennedy, who wrote this wonderful book called Good Inside, and it's a parenting book. But of course, we're always parenting ourselves. Like, there's always some grown-upness in ourselves that can be in relationship with the small parts of ourselves. And so I don't think it's just for parents, it's for people in inquiry about how to support our own lives and everything. And she has this great language, which is that everybody is a good person having a something day or a something moment. So when you look at a child and they're having a meltdown of some kind, she said they're a good kid having a bad day. And her orientation is of unending, profound goodness. And one of the other things she says is that it's our main job as parents or as people who are in relationship with ourselves, which everyone is, which is to say, what is the most generous interpretation I can find right now for what's going on? So an ungenerous interpretation might be, I'm absolutely fuming and losing my cool and I'm throwing my toys out of the pram or something kind of mean that I might say to myself. And something generous might be, I'm having a lot of feelings and there's some underlying sadness here that's coming out in lots of different ways. There's different ways to orient. And one of those ways is assuming goodness, and another is kind of in the moment writing myself off and punishing myself and being mean to myself on the inside. And so I love that we're having this conversation of things being right side by side to one another, and that goodness is the premise. Goodness is the first port of call. You know, we use the word practice all the time. And of course, all of us are failing at this all the time. You know, we're failing to see our goodness. We're failing to see another person's goodness. We do have the capacity to cultivate something. And so if I can practice this remembrance that you're talking about, of this inherent first port of call, assumed goodness, it also changes the way that I then interpret the right-hand side of Alanis's sentences, the bits on the end. So doing nothing if I didn't come at it before with goodness, I might say laziness. I might say being useless or something. I'm talking in words that I might use about myself. But then if I come at it mixed in with goodness, my assumption of goodness, my practicing, orienting as if things are good, then the doing nothing could be discernment. It could be something really matters that I'm not attending to, and what might that be? Like it allows the right-hand side of the sentence to be some kind of opening if I come at it from a place of goodness rather than being bad or written off or something wrong, horribly wrong with me or whatever. So I'm now feeling the gladness of this goodness orientation because it does allow everything to be an opportunity. It allows everything to be an opening, like we would say in our work, because in the context of goodness, we can turn towards things. Whereas in the context of dead end, the relating to ourselves as a load of dead ends, it just feels like I can feel it in myself now. When I say that, I feel kind of hopeless. And if all I can relate to myself as is this right-hand side of the sentences, the end of the sentences, I do nothing, I get the thumbs down, I'm sick, I gain 10 pounds, I am bankrupt, I've lost my hair in my youth, I'm no longer queen. Like if I don't say the bit before, I can feel the tumbling kind of, oh gosh, yes, I'm inherently defunct and there's something horribly wrong with me. Whereas if I include the beginning of the sentence, the beginning of the sentence is so much bigger, it's so vast that the end of the sentence has a right size inside of that bigness. I think that's the whole orientation of our work, is that if we this goodness is so huge and vast and generous and benevolent, that any of these things on the right hand side of the sentence have a home. They can be talked about, they can be processed, they can be welcomed. There's something that they get welcomed into. And if I can practice that kind of inherent vast relationship to life, all of these things can be welcomed because there's a place, a bowl that's big enough for them to come and be interviewed in and to be welcomed into and seen and held. And, you know, clinginess gets to be, we get to be curious around clinginess rather than reject it or push it away or send it into damnation as a thing that we can never feel. And then the goodness gives us the faith that we can find our way through the clinginess and understand it and see what it needs and what it wants. And that goodness is holding it the whole time.
That's such a powerful way in, Lizzie, that listening to you is really helping me with trying to tease something out. And what you said, I think what you said was, if you look at each of these sentences, this is such a great form, Alanis's words, such a great form for working with this, because there's the left-hand side, which always says that I would be good, even if. And there's the right-hand side, which is a something in the world. Some of them are things that happened. I went bankrupt, I got sick, I lost my hair in my youth, I was overwhelmed. And some of those things will happen to all of us. Like if you live long enough, you're going to lose your hair in your youth to some degree. You're certainly going to lose your youth. Some of us lose our hair. The right-hand side of these sentences are all things that we might do or not do, all things that might or might not happen, or ways we find ourselves relating to the world. And the thing about the right-hand side ones is they all legitimately have assessments we might make of them. So I was thinking about the first one, doing nothing. Sometimes when we've somehow lived a life in which the only value that's been ascribed to us or that we've taken on is being busy all the time, doing nothing is a real blessing. Learning to do nothing really, really matters. So sometimes we might, depending upon our point of view, we might say, wonderful, doing nothing, wonderful. And other times we might look at doing nothing and saying, that's terrible. The house was on fire and you did nothing. Somebody else was suffering and you did nothing. So the very same action or circumstance on the right hand side, there are lots and lots and lots of different legitimate interpretations about it. If you go bankrupt, Lizzie, and I say to you, great, you went bankrupt, and you might go, what? This was a terrible thing that happened to me. So that's the right hand side. And then the left-hand side is unarguable. I think that's the point here, is that whether doing nothing was a good idea or a bad idea, in other words, whether doing nothing brought life or ended up with you abandoning somebody who really needed your help. In talking about it the way that you did, what Alanis is doing is undoing the making ourselves what's on the right hand side, what's at the end of the sentence, making us the same as what's on the right hand side. So when something terrible and tragic happens to me, or when I find myself being clingy, or when I lose my youth, or when I do nothing and it's excellent for the world, or I do nothing and it's terrible for the world, if I equate myself, actually either when it's when I'm taking it to be good or bad, if I equate myself with something that's happening on the outside, then what happens is I lose contact with, like you said, with this vast store of benevolence and generosity and possibility that being a person is. And when we know ourselves as a vast store of benevolence and generousness and possibility, even in the most confined, tight spaces, like when we lose our sanity or when we get sick, it's not then that anything in particular is called for us in the outside world. There are lots and lots of possibilities, one of which might just be hunkering down and waiting till it passes. But what we're doing is we're finding in ourself that great storehouse of life that is what we are. And the mistake that we make, the way I'm thinking about it from what you said, is that the mistake that we make is we identify ourselves with the circumstance or with an action I've taken. Like I was talking to someone this week who said, I should have acted sooner. I'm letting other people down. I didn't act when I should have done. But now, because I'm so ashamed that I didn't act, I don't feel like I want to act now, because then I'd have to admit how terrible my mistake of not telling the other people what I needed to tell them was, that kind of setting. And that is a giant contraction. And I think you said this, that when we know ourselves as basic goodness, then we really open up our capacity to stay with shame and fear and disappointment and the parts of us that are very, very tiny and self-critical. And we so greatly open our capacity to take the next step, whatever it is, into the world. And when we lose contact with it, the world shrinks. And maybe some of the things that we do to ourselves and to other people that are the most destructive are when we keep on insisting on telling a story about ourselves, that I am the destructiveness, or I am the failure, or I am the forgetfulness, or I am the mistake, instead of those are all parts, those are all things that happened, those are all part of the whole scenario. And now, what does the essential goodness that Alanis Morissette is telling us about, what would that make possible now if I knew it? And that seems to me to be a much bigger, kinder, but also bolder, more fiercely loving, more courageous kind of world that opens up for us.
As you're talking, I'm really touched by the kind of the inevitability of the right-hand side of the sentence. That this is what it is to be human, is to go numb, to cling, to fume, to be overwhelmed, to be lose my youth, to go bankrupt, to gain 10 pounds. Like it's all inevitable. And that something's coming back to me now of a really long time ago. I went to a kind of healing circle, I think it was called, or something like that, with Sharon Salzberg, who does loving kindness meditation, and her whole life's work is about loving kindness. And I remember saying to her, I just feel like such a failure that I'm constantly in the right-hand side of these sentences, to use the language you're using now. And she said, but honey, the healing is in the return. And I was like, oh, hold on a second. I have to, like, that's going to stick with me. You know, there's moments that really stick. And what I took from that is that in order to know the goodness, it's really necessary for us to go off track from our goodness. And for us to come back is where the healing happens, because then you have the evidence that you are not what you interpreted yourself to be in that very small, tiny, fearful, scared, critical place, because the goodness had you back again. And so this kind of faithfulness towards the goodness, that it can hold me even in all of the right-hand sideness, in my insanity, in my clinginess and fumingness, that it's much bigger than any of those things. The evidence of that comes when I get to return to the goodness. And you might be the goodness for me today, Justin. I might bring my clinginess to you, and you're holding on to goodness in this moment, your presence of goodness for me, in service of me, might be the only way that I can allow that clinginess to find a home, because right now I can't find that in me. All I'm experiencing myself as right now is this clingy, needy, tiny something. But when I'm with you and you can be the goodness for me, it gifts the goodness back to me again, because you and I aren't separate in that way. We might be separate because our skin finishes in different places, but there is no separation between you and I in the field of goodness. So I can borrow your goodness for a while. And in the borrowing of your goodness, I find my own goodness again. And then because I came with my clinginess, and now I feel like I'm more than my clinginess and my goodness, I can find contact again with that goodness. There's healing in that. I can feel it, like, all through every episode of my right-hand side of the sentenceness. I can feel that every time I've brought that back into my either my own sense of goodness, which sometimes I can do, or someone else's, I can feel the healing happening. I can feel my faith returning, my trusting that life is this benevolent force, because I'm giving it a chance to work each time I come back, or bringing something to it. I'm getting evidence for it each time I do that. And almost, I think the really moving parts in my path have been when I've bought the most awful thing. And either I haven't run away from myself, or someone else hasn't run away from me. And it brings such fuel to the fire of my faith, that the parts of me that I think are like banishable and nobody's ever going to love that part of me, and if someone loves that part, my trust and my faith in this left-hand side of the sentence becomes so rich that I receive the healing from it. And then I feel really thankful to my clinginess for having made me seek that out, because then my faith can grow again. So this inevitability of being in the right-hand side, but then the crucial part of knowing how to find and contact goodness when I can't find it in myself, feels like the biggest gift of being in community, being in relationship with others who can hold me, who know their own goodness, and for us to practice that together and have intention for that goodness to be in our consciousness, in our awareness, in our relationship with one another. That's where healing happens. That I've got more evidence that I'm not defunct, that I'm not so bad that I need to leave, that I need to banish myself to my room or something. And so then this goodness just becomes even more available, but it's only more available because I went to the dark side and came back, and the dark side was included in the goodness.
It really helps, doesn't it, Lizzie, to not to see that the right side and the left side of these sentences are distinct from one another, as well as being and. In other words, there is a dark side.
Mm.
There are things we fall into and things we do and things that are not life-giving to us or anyone. And what the left-hand side grows is what is benevolent and generous and life-giving. But if we smudge the two together. So if either I think that I am badness or failure, or I am sickness, or I am, you know, if that's the whole of me, then what we do is we rob ourselves of the capacity to find that which would be life-giving in the midst of things. But equally, if we make the mistake and go the other way and say, oh, it's nothing that you did nothing, that you got the thumbs down, that you stayed sick, that you gained 10 pounds, that you went bankrupt, that you lost your hair in your youth, that you're no longer queen, they are all something. Some of them are very welcome and some of them are terrible for us, depending upon all kinds of things. So having a definition of goodness that is deep enough and wide enough to tell the truth about things and then still to return, I think that for me is where I want to end up, is saying that there are, that what we're talking about here is making a stand for something on behalf of something, that not everything is equal to everything else, and that goodness is different from the absence of goodness, and that goodness at the same time is the shared heritage of being a human, that we know it if we will bring it to one another and evoke it in one another and find it in one another. We know it because it's what takes care of ourselves and others and the wider world. We know it because it's what brings out virtues in ourselves and in other people. We know it because it's a form of love. We know it. So I really appreciate the language that you're using, which helps us to distinguish in a way, in language we've used many, many times before, between the desperate, frightened, judging parts of ourselves and something more essential and more vast and more timeless that is able, with the right support and under the right conditions, to bring itself into the world, but is always present. It's that kind of, you often talk about faithfulness, Lizzie, a kind of faithfulness to the being of being a human. Lizzie, thank you as always for being in this conversation, and one of the things I'm deeply appreciating today is this really is unrehearsed, the really feeling us wrangling and wrestling and grappling and discovering and uncovering together as we talk. And thank you for that. And really thank you for all of you who are with us whilst we wrangle and wrestle and grapple and discover and uncover and find our way. I know that many of you say that this conversation, Lizzie, between you and I, is a real help for that conversation in and between many other people. So we're very glad to have you with us. We'd be very glad if you want to share this conversation or any of them with others. And if you'd like to support us, and even if not, even if you, what you just want to do is listen every week or now and again, we are very glad that you're alongside us and we're alongside you. And we're going to end here. And all being well, we will see you next week.
Thanks, everyone.